Technology, it's such a big part of our lives. It can be fun, it can be convenient, just like this podcast, which is why University of Missouri Healthcare is proud to support podcasting on KBIA. Technology can also save your life. That's why so many people turn to University of Missouri Healthcare. Its hospitals and clinics offer you the latest technology, plus a medical team whose skill and knowledge are unparalleled. You know technology makes everyday life a lot better. Well, it's true for your healthcare, too. University of Missouri Healthcare, the care you deserve from the team you trust.
Hello, and welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Raymond Tungekar. A growing number of schools across the country are introducing tablet computers into the classroom. Here in Columbia, Benton Elementary School is using 50 iPads that it received at the beginning of the year. And the technology is being used in classes as varied as art, music, and PE. KBIA's Lee Jianchung looked at how these tablet computers are being introduced into schools, and whether or not this technology could soon replace the chalkboard.
In a wooden trailer behind the Thomas Benton Elementary School, teacher Denise Lasley guides 10-year-old Ashley Casquio on how to put a sentence together using an iPad.
Keep trying.
Try again.
A colorful picture of a couple riding their horses appear on the screen. Ashley needs to construct a sentence describing the picture using a menu with different word options. She slides her finger across the screen to choose the correct pronoun and pushes the big green button at the bottom of the screen. It's easy. Even a kid can do it. Not sentence structure, but using a tablet computer. Ashley is using one of 50 iPads that Benton Elementary bought at the beginning of the school year. These tablets were introduced into classrooms after its curriculum was revised to focus more on science, engineering, mathematics, and of course, technology, which are referred to as STEM fields.
Well, ask him. Okay. She wants to know if she can say what she uses an iPad for at Benton.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Go ahead.
We use iPads for kids so they can learn.
Right, very good. Very good.
And it's engaging. Maybe too engaging, as Lasley has to keep the iPad out of Ashley's reach. She wants to start the next game. Benton is not the only school using tablet computers. Blue Ridge, Russell, and Ridgeway Elementary have also begun using them in their classrooms as well. Lasley says with more tablet computers being introduced into the home and the workplace, teachers and students are excited about the possibilities.
It motivates the kids. Because they get that instant reinforcement to see, yeah, I got that right, or no, I didn't, or I need to work on this.
And at Benton Elementary, their iPads are already being used in a variety of settings.
Every day they have a different special. It's either music.
I had art today.
Thank you. Music, art, PE, counseling, or media center.
And check out library.
Yeah.
The real test for tablet computers in Benton Elementary will be whether it can improve scores in math and communication arts. For the past 3 years, Benton Elementary has not met the communication requirements under No Child Left Behind. They met the math requirement for 2011 before revising their curriculum, but the bar is being set higher every year. And there is another challenge to introducing any new technology in schools.
You want to have iPad stationed in every classroom. Mm-hmm. What are challenges to that?
Money. Money's the biggest challenge.
Troy Hogg is the principal of Benton Elementary.
But I'm also very excited because there are a large number of grants that are available, especially for promoting STEM education.
By revising their curriculum, Benton Elementary School will be able to receive a wider variety of grants. But according to Leslie Trogdon, Director of School Improvement for Columbia, there are a limited number of grants designed to introduce tablet computers to schools. Blue Ridge, Russell, and Ridgeway Elementary bought their iPads using either building or parent-teacher association funds. Principal Hogg says the use of tablets could also inspire students to pursue future careers in technology.
One thing about Benton is that we do have a large number of students who live in poverty, which means they don't necessarily have all of the technology at home. And so for us to put an iPad in the hand of a kid who may not have that experience otherwise, really, you know, it evens the playing field a little bit. When they get to middle school, when they get to high school, and they're using some more of that technology, they're going to have that experience already.
He says it is difficult to know how effective tablet technology is in Benton Elementary's classrooms. One measure of success would be the Missouri Assessment Program, which tests for math and communications in April. A study is also being conducted by the Missouri College of Education to determine the effectiveness of iPads in the first grade.
Okay, very good. Now, Ashley.
Another afternoon ends at Benton Elementary, and students like Ashley Caskio can't stop talking about iPads. She'll get another crack at it soon, though, when she gets to class tomorrow. Li Jianchong, KBIA News.
It's long been known that regular physical activity can reduce the risk of some of the leading causes of death, like heart disease and high blood pressure. Minority populations suffer higher rates of some of these conditions, leading many researchers to devise exercise programs catered to these groups. But one researcher says more can be done. Vicky Kahn is Associate Dean at the MU School of Nursing. I spoke to her recently about a study she did that concluded that many of these minority exercise interventions weren't culturally tailored enough. She started by telling me what these programs looked like.
We looked at two different types of physical activity interventions. The first type were supervised exercise interventions, that is, where the researchers have an exercise facility and the subjects exercise under the supervision of the researchers. And the second type of interventions were motivational interventions, and that typically includes efforts to convince people to change their physical activity behavior, but without any supervised exercise.
One of the conclusions that your study had was that these programs aren't culturally tailored and there's a necessity for that?
You know, that's true, and we were really surprised because these studies were all designed to target minority adults. Out of the studies that we had, only 14 of them indicated that one of the research team members was a member of that minority group. 25 of the studies delivered the intervention in a location that would be appropriate, but that doesn't necessarily make it a culturally appropriate intervention.
Could you just walk me through what might be considered an ideal culturally tailored intervention?
Well, I think the easiest example is the notion of faith-placed versus faith-based interventions. Many, many studies of exercise behavior with African Americans recruit samples in African American churches, and they deliver the intervention in the African American church. But if the intervention is not designed specifically for that population, then it's not necessarily culturally based. For example, the sense of community and of doing things not just for oneself but for the community is very powerful in African American churches. So an intervention might focus on how you get the group to exercise together. For example, if you set up a walking group that would meet, one member of that group might be inclined to not show up one day because they needed to go to the grocery store. But if they thought it was going to help the group for them to be there so that there would be a full group of people walking, they might be more likely to show up. And so that's just one example of using a value and a tradition in a way that's going to benefit the individual members as well as the whole church.
That's it for this week's Under the Microscope. Thanks for listening. Just a reminder that you can listen to this and other episodes on our website, kbia.org. Oh, oh, oh.